behind Fortino, no shot. Johnson back to Fortino. Fortino rolling puck down low. Shot scores. It's Poulin again. Canada wins gold in overtime.
Welcome to Changing on the Fly, a podcast about hockey, politics, and social change. I'm your host, Aaron Lakoff. Like blades on the ice, Changing on the Fly cuts right to the heart of today's most important issues in hockey. We go beyond the stats and pundits to bring you hard-hitting analysis on the politics of the game we love. From taking on racism and sexism in the locker room, to looking at the impacts of climate change on hockey, we amplify voices from the margins and bring them to center ice. Stay with us. Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode 12 of Changing on the Fly, a podcast where we look at the intersections of hockey and politics and drop the gloves against injustice right at center ice. My name is Aaron. Thank you so much for being back with us. Spring is here. The NHL playoffs are in full swing and actually, you know, just about rounding down right now. Because at the time we're recording this, it is the Boston Bruins and St. Louis Blues that have advanced to the Stanley Cup Finals. So, as you guys probably know if you've listened to this show, being a Habs fan myself, I'm firmly in the anyone but Boston camp, so go Blues! But also, you know, it would be really exciting to see the St. Louis Blues win the first Stanley Cup for their first time in franchise history, just like it was to see the Washington Capitals win the Stanley Cup for their first time last year. Although I would really implore them, if anyone from the Blues or the Bruins are listening, to not go to the Trump White House after you win, like the Pittsburgh Penguins and Capitals shamefully did. But anyways, don't know if I have their ears just yet. Okay, so I digress. Getting back to today's episode, that wasn't really a digression. That's what we're here for. So we're finally bringing you part two of a two-part series that I'm calling Pucks, Punks, and Politics: Conversations with Punk Rock Musicians on Hockey, Radical Politics, and the Art of Getting Loud. So the first part of this series was with Chris Tu from Anti-Flag. And if you missed that, you can go back and listen to episode 10 at our website, changingonthefly.ca, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is going to be with Jord Samoleski, the drummer of the seminal Winnipeg punk band Propagandhi. Aside from being a very busy touring musician for the last 25 years, Jord is also a dedicated human rights activist in his hometown, and join me for a discussion to talk about Propagandhi's latest album, how to stave off impending climate doom, and why he just can't cheer for the Winnipeg Jets, at least in their most recent incarnation. So more on that in just a little bit. But before we get into it, I wanted to go back to a story that we've been covering lately, which is the massive and heartbreaking news of the shutdown of the Canadian Women's Hockey League, or CWHL. And of course, if you missed it, make sure you go back and listen to episode 11 of our podcast for an in-depth discussion on all of that with Shireen Ahmed and Erica Ayala. So this story has taken on all sorts of twists and turns and keeps on evolving. Shortly after the CWHL announcement they were going to close, there was the NWHL, the National Women's Hockey League in the States, that announced that they are going to be expanding into Canada with two franchises in Toronto and Montreal next season. Not an ideal solution by far, but maybe at least something? I don't know. But then another couple weeks after that NWHL announcement, there was another groundbreaking move, and this time it came from the players themselves. About 200 women's players got together to organize a boycott to sit out the next season of professional hockey until a long-term sustainable solution is found in consultation with the players themselves. That's kind of the key right there. And they put out a statement and has some signers from some of the biggest names in the game, people like Marie-Philippe Poulin, Hillary Knight, and Shannon Sabados. These players have formed a new professional women's hockey player association, and the statement they release is so powerful that it bears repeating here at length. So I'm going to read that for you right now. We're fortunate to be ambassadors of this game that we revere so deeply, and yet, more than ever, we understand the responsibility that comes with that ambassadorship, to leave this game in better shape than when we entered it. That's why we've come together, over 200 players strong, to say it is time to create a sustainable professional league for women's hockey. While we have all accomplished so much, there's no greater accomplishment than what we have the potential to do right here and now. Not just for this generation of hockey players, but for generations to come. I love that. With that purpose, we are coming together, not as individual players, but as one collective voice to help navigate the future and protect the players' needs. We cannot make a sustainable living playing in the current state of the professional game. We have no health insurance, and making as low as $2,000 a season means players can't adequately train and prepare themselves for the next highest level. What about even paying rent at that level? Jeez. But because of that, together as players, we will not play in any professional leagues in North America this season until we get the resources that professional hockey demands and deserves. We may have represented different teams, leagues, and countries, but this sport is one family. And the time is now for that family to unite. This is the moment we have all been waiting for, our moment to come together to say we deserve more. It's time for a long-term, viable professional women's league that will showcase the greatest product of women's professional hockey in the world. Hashtag for the game. Damn, that is powerful, and power to them for organizing for collective betterment. So that's the big news, and mark my words, we'll continue to follow this story to the best of our capabilities as it unfolds. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back. So just a little bit of housekeeping before we get into that interview with Jord from Propagandy. I love doing this show. I love bringing it to you, to all of your ears, because I think that a progressive and a radical voice in the world of hockey media is so much needed. There aren't that many shows doing it. There are a few, but really too far between. And so if you love this show, if you love getting it, just know that, you know, no one's paying me to do this. I don't have any sponsors. You're not hearing any annoying ads from mattress companies. I work a full-time job, so I'm basically doing this on my days off and trying to squeeze it in wherever I have time. But, you know, it does cost money to do, and your support would be so greatly needed and appreciated. So there's many ways you can support this podcast. One is just by sharing on social media, you know, give a quick retweet to all of our stuff, a share on Facebook. You can share our stuff on Instagram, or just tell friends in person about the show, people who you play hockey with, people who you enjoy watching hockey with. You know, if they want to see a better world come out of hockey, one without sexism and without racism, say, hey, Changing on the Fly, check that shit out. But also another great way you can support the show is with your own dollars. And you know, I know times are tough. I know a lot of us don't have that much money. And that's why we have found a really easy solution for you. You can support us on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. You sign up, you plug in your credit card info, you don't even have to worry about it. Shooting us $1 a month is like, damn, you can't even buy a candy bar for $1 a month. So, you know, why not put that towards a good investment? You can hit pause on the podcast now and shuffle over to patreon.com/changingonthefly. We've got some great perks for people who donate, so go check us out. Also, we are a proud member of the Upford Network. Find your new favorite podcast at upfordnetwork.com. All right, that's it. Let's get back into this. All right, so our feature interview on the show today is with a true Canadian punk legend, Jord Samoleski of the band Propagandy. Now, if you don't know anything about punk or about Propagandhi, I think you're going to love this interview because Propagandhi are such a lovable band and the connection with hockey is huge. Propagandhi formed way back in the late 1980s in the frozen and hockey-crazed prairie city of Winnipeg, Manitoba. Jord Samuleski is their drummer and also one of the founding members who's still in the band today. He and Chris Hanna, the lead singer, are the two longest-standing members and still rocking out with shows all around the world, still cranking out albums after all these years. Now, Propagandhi are credited with bringing tons of young Canadian kids, and I imagine just like tons of young punks all over the world in general, into radical politics, including myself. Their lyrics are powerful, poignant, and political, and touch on issues like environmental defense, veganism, feminism, and Indigenous solidarity. But throughout their 30-year career, they've always peppered their lyrics with cheeky little hockey references here and there. It's an ode to their prairie roots, but also the fact that many members of the band are huge hockey fans. So in their songs, you get lines like this. Are also lines like this. And I like the Maple Leafs. They remind me of me. Inconsistent fragile, internationally reviled. I like allegories, Cinderella stories. So that was our upcoming guest, Jord, shredding it on the drums, and Chris Hanna on vocals. And yes, Chris is a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, despite living in the Peg. And we're going to get into that tension in just a little bit because it's an interesting one. I had a chance to sit down with Jord right before they played a sold-out show in Montreal a while back on tour for their latest album, Victory Lap. And I think you're going to like it. So without further ado, punks, pucks, and politics with Jord Samuleski from Propagandhi. Here we go. You stupid fucking laser pucks were just a star. How will you waste that 6 foot cubits and a star? All right, I'm here in Montreal right now with Jord from Propagandhi, back in the city after quite a few years. So welcome back to Montreal.
Well, thanks very much. Glad to be back.
All right. Mm-hmm. You guys are touring a brand new album right now. It's called Victory Lap. I think this album really like screams again, like the sign of the times that we're living these days. Donald Trump, growing fascism and the alt-right, not only in the US, but like here in Canada as well. Maybe tell us like about some of like the emotions and like, especially like the political emotions that you guys were feeling going into this album and writing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the last 5 years since we did the last record was, hasn't been an easy time. We had a lot of, personal issues. We had to, we were confronted with some health concerns, sorry. And, you know, we kept working slowly on the record, on and off, over the years. And, yeah, like it's an enjoyable process. Like I enjoy just, you know, working on music. Love the people I'm working with. It's a lot of fun just getting together in the afternoons and working on things where you can kind of take your mind off of what's going on in larger life. But yeah, I have to admit, like the last couple of years have been, politically and environmentally have been almost overwhelming to me. I've found that, my personal life, with a few difficulties, and then just the world, you know, understanding the environmental catastrophe we're, you know, in the middle of, and watching, you know, the symptoms of that come alive, and, all that growing year to year. Trying to educate myself as best I can of what we can do within this system to, try to prevent this catastrophe or minimize it or mitigate it to some sort of level that we can kind of feel, I don't even know. Like for with the LEAP manifesto, for example, we were approached to sign that, and it's something that I wholeheartedly endorse. I understand, a few, critiques of the LEAP, I'm just trying to sort it all out, and like the chips haven't fallen to an extent where I've been able to put everything together into something that I feel confident with and just have a direction with my life. I feel like everything's just scrambled around and I'm grasping at straws at this point. Because my interpretation of the environmental catastrophe is we live with such an insane, the capitalist economy is based on this cancerous logic of infinite growth with we have one world, limited resources. It just does not make sense. And the production, the overproduction of throwaway items and stuff like that, it's just, we can't sustain this. And I don't think that converting to a so-called green sort of energy technology to achieve the same consumption rates does not make any sense to me. And I think what we need to do is try to reverse that. I don't believe in sustainability and capitalism. I think that's just a pipe dream. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And I say this, trying to, we drive around in a van, we're putting out vinyl LPs and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know. Like, part of me is like, what the hell should we be doing? Like, maybe we should, on the other hand, I don't know if just, running off into the bush and, getting an organic farm together is the answer either. But I'm just kind of confused at the direction of it all, because the peoples that I take the most stock from, it's very, very, the situation is so dire. I just don't know where we're going to be and what we're going to see in the rest of our lifetimes, I think as a kid, I grew up with the nuclear threat and, understanding that at age of 10 years old, holy shit, they press the button, we can all be gone here. Yeah. And that, of course, the nuclear, 2 minutes to midnight again, all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But the environmental catastrophe as well, it's like we're going in that direction. The way I see it is if the economy stays, even if we can curtail it to a large degree, we're still heading down this path of what I consider to be an imminent collapse at this point. And when the flames engulf the home of the brave, the stampede to war, the border was in vain. Faces, palm faces pale, as the war they said would make them great could not be scaled. When the free market fundamentalist steps out the roadside by my side, can I hop leading to death? I swear to Reverend, I think we need to attack the capitalist mentality. We just can't have this. The oil has to stay in the ground. We can't produce all this garbage. Yet, it's the development model for all the emerging nations, and everybody wants to catch up to where we're at. Another thought I have based on that is when I was 18, I moved to Winnipeg, and I went to a event at the public library, and I'll never forget this. Another professor for the U of M was speaking and basically just saying, if China develops to an approximate standard of living what the West had at that time, he basically was saying, the planet's done. We have to start shifting things now, everywhere, not allowing China or India to develop it. you know, and what have we seen? It's like the system is so powerful, and you know, the reality that we all live in under mainstream media and corporate media control is just, you know, it's hedonistic. Just work, spend, and continue this pyramid scheme of imminent destruction going. And that's my, you know, the last 30 years of my life, it's just been ramping that up instead of going the other direction. And
and at the same time, though, I think like propaganda in a way has kind of always been like a signpost for so many people figuring out politics too. Like, I remember so clearly like being in grade 10 and getting my hands on Less Talk More Rock, you know, reading through the liner notes and just like that being really useful in terms of like figuring things out at the time, you know. So it's like the times are grim, but for me it's like it's really useful to have bands out there who might not be putting forward like the solutions, but are at least speaking to like the magnitude of how bad shit is, you know.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in those days we were trying to just extend the punk rock, the radical sliver of punk rock. You know, we were heavily influenced by bands like MDC and the Dead Kennedys. The Subhumans UK for me was a huge band, and you know, over the years trying to have like book tables, occasionally, you know, offering space to local radical bookshops, just, you know, here's this shop in your hometown, you know, here it is, you can go and support them, buy them books right here, that kind of thing, inviting some activists to speak. And that's the part of the band where I feel like I don't know, I'm satisfied with that angle, that we continue to do that.
And you know, another thing that I think really stands out for me for with propaganda is like you guys are kind of like, I mean, like the quintessential prairie punks, in the sense that that's reflected so much in your music. And I want to like shift the focus a little bit, because, you know, one thing that is like really emblematic thinking about the band and the prairies is hockey. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because you guys have worked hockey into your lyrics in like a really interesting way. You know, the song that stands out the most for me is Dear Coach's Corner, from the album Supporting Cast. Starts out with like that crazy quote from Don Cherry talking about, let's support the troops, you know.
That was sickening last week, by the way.
What? What is going on with you here?
No, it's not. What is this stuff on here? We're Hockey Night in Canada and we're talking about saving the world and all that stuff. Let's talk hockey.
Well, that's the whole idea behind December the 25th.
Let's talk about some good guys.
Okay.
Let's talk about the troops.
So tell us just like a little bit about that song and how that came into fruition.
Well, I think, you know, Chris and I, not Todd so much, but we were, you know, socialized. We embrace that as kids, and our parents, you know, that's the Canadian thing, the Canadian way to bring up your kids, get them involved in that particular team sport. And yeah, we loved it for a number of years. You know, I used to be a fan of you know, the NHL, that kind of stuff. I'm not so big into it now. There's nobody I really root for or anything like that.
You're not a Jets fan?
You know, I was about to be the second time they came around. I was ready for it, but when they actually rebranded the logo and all that stuff, it turned me off.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it. I went to a game and witnessed what they were playing before the anthem. The captain at the time, Andrew Ladd, stepping out of a fighter, you know, jet, and you know, military fatigues, all this kind of stuff, and it just seemed like the militarization of corporate sports presentations on TV and that kind of stuff just ramped up over the years, and it just seemed like, wow, you're borrowing a page out of the NFL here, and this is just, it grossed me right out, considering what Canada's involved with overseas and stuff. the whole Afghanistan thing. Yeah, it made me sick, and I honestly, it deflated me quite a bit at that point.
Logo went from being such an innocent kind of like 747 jet to being this like F-16 like fighter jet, you know.
Yeah, it reeks, and I was hoping they were just gonna keep the Atlanta name, call the team the Winnipeg Thrashers. I would have been on board. I thought that was sickening, and how everybody just gobbles it up without questioning it in any really meaningful way. It was not for me. Mm-hmm.
And like, so of course that song Dear Coach's Corner touches on like that connection between hockey and the military industrial complex, talking about, you know, the yellow ribbons and soldiers rappelling down from the rafters. So, you know, as someone who grew up with hockey, you know, I grew up with hockey too. This is disturbing to see, right? And maybe like just like unpack that a little bit, like just, you know, some of the things like you were saying, it's really uncomfortable being at these games. Like that song's really touching on that. Like what's disturbing about it, I guess.
Just seeing how easily, the influence of big money and taking your money and selling this product isn't enough. It's literally involving like these, imperialist ideas, you know, and integrating that into just mass culture in general, and that sort of jingoistic touch is revolting, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting when people, you know, like we had an activist. Well, I shouldn't say an activist hockey team. There were a lot of activists that we started our team with, and just a left sort of general tendency amongst most of the players on our team, and even with that, like I felt like this is a good way to get to know each other better, stick ourselves out there. We're playing just, you know, pretty much mainstream folks, and you know, throwing ourselves out there as this unit and having a few laughs, and even with that, it almost seemed like, okay, now everybody's really excited about playing hockey and everything else is getting left on the shelf, and here we are just playing games and kind of ignoring everything else. So I have mixed feelings about the whole thing, but also just trying to place myself in what to do these days is difficult. So you know, you got to have fun, but you know, depending on who you are, trying to figure out what your role is in larger life too. You know, I wish we could push the envelope with that kind of stuff, you know, and but like I said, I haven't played in the last couple of years, so I'm not really involved right now.
Mm-hmm. And coming back to that song, Dear Coach's Corner, I think one of the reasons why it speaks to me is like the song's reflecting on like growing up loving the sport so much, but then seeing it just completely like torn apart by the corporations and by the military industrial complex. There's a line from it that I really love, you know, where it says, "Dear Ron McLean, I wouldn't bother with these questions if I didn't sense some spiritual connection. And it's not like we may not be the same, but we're not from different planets. We both love this game so much we can hardly effing stand it."
Dear Ron McLean, I wouldn't bother with these questions.
I mean, it also kind of speaks to this tension in Canada, right? Where it's like you have this game that people like from the left and the right of the spectrum both love, but there's been this like conservative culture that's kind of taken it over. I'm wondering, like, do you kind of like see that reflected in the song or reflections on that?
Well, yeah, definitely. Like, I think hockey is kind of a conservative game. And over the years, like, I mean, when I grew up playing it, we had community clubs in the small towns in Manitoba where they had gear for people, for kids to use. You'd go down to the community club. All the games were outside. It's actually quite cheap. If you were a parent that didn't have a lot of money, you know, you could enroll your kid and know that they're going to be, you know, there's gear, everything that you need. You know, community coaches, that kind of stuff, but you can get out and do it. And then over the years, as I was growing up, they didn't do the outdoor rinks anymore. Everything was pushed inside. Now you have to have your own gear. And it became a much more of a middle-class game, you know. I think in terms of just general society, anything that's going to be popular, the corporate tentacles are going to come around and grab as much of it as they can and reproduce it in a way where they can maximize their profits. Not dissimilar from the music industry, really, in a lot of ways. If money's to be made, they want to control it. And, you know, and like the ideological streaks that are sort of present, like, say, in the NFL right now, this anthem issue going on down there, I think is really, really interesting because there's a lot of athletes from marginalized communities standing up, and I think they're doing a better job than the arts community is in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of bands recently since Trump came in that aren't saying fuck all about what's going on down there. It's just kind of this really tepid, you know, very, very cautious, you know, people aren't really sticking their necks out on anything, and I guess people are maybe afraid of repercussions in some way. I'm not too sure, but
yeah. I'm glad you brought that up too, because I was going to ask you, like, it's such an exciting time in sports where forever we've seen this conservative culture take it over, and now with like Colin Kaepernick and all these players, there was just last week the first player in the NHL, black player, raised his fist during the national anthem, JT Brown, on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Like. Mm-hmm. That's really going out on a limb. I respect that 100%. That's totally great.
As a Habs fan, it almost makes me want to just become a Tampa Bay Lightning fan just for that. Your guitarist is from Tampa, isn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
she's
lived there for a number of years. She grew up, I think, in Puerto Rico till she was maybe 4 or 5, and then lived in New York for a number of years now, Tampa, and thinking of relocating to New York again. So,
Anyways, props to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
You know what? I might just leave it there just because you got a show to play. And but thank you so much for taking the time today.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Aaron.
All right. So once again, that was Jord from Propagandy. Thanks so much for listening. So check it out. Summer is almost here, or maybe depending on where you're living, summer is in full bloom. Definitely not in Montreal right now. But that means that we've got better things to do than being in front of a computer all the time, including myself. It also means, are we really paying attention to hockey podcasts anymore in the summer? Nah, you're probably just paying attention to your beer on the beach. So I'm going to be putting out one more episode of this podcast to end off season one. And we're going to take a break for the summer and be back in the fall with season two. So if you're a Patreon supporter, you won't get charged for your monthly contributions in the summer. And we thank you so much for being with us for this first season of Changing on the Fly. It's really been huge. We got a write-up on the CBC. We participated in a roundtable discussion on hockey and racism in Kingston. We got shout-outs from some of the top podcasters on sports and politics, people like Ryan McMahon from the Thunder Bay podcast, or Dave Zirin from Edge of Sports, and much, much more. So that's it for us for this episode, and I want to again say a massive thanks to our supporters on Patreon who make this show happen, Anne, Aiden, Jeff, Nick A, Jeremy, Andrew, Nick T, Ellen, Sam, Grill, Dasha, Dan, Shona, Amber, and Bruce, and our latest patron, Norm. Hey, Norm. That's my uncle. Anyways, once again, thank you for listening. We'll be back soon.
I'm Julian McKenzie, co-host of the Scrum Podcast, a sports show I'm doing with my podcasting partner in crime, Tristan Damore, on the Upford Network. Every week, we analyze something different from the Canadian sports media landscape. Lack of diversity, getting a job in the field, coverage of different sports, and answering some of the harder questions. Through a combination of back-and-forth discussion and high-profile guest interviews, we're aiming to figure out exactly what's up in the world of sports. Find us wherever podcasts are sold. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, Message in a Bottle, Morse Code, Telegram, Singing Telegram, Target, Walgreens, Bird's Nest, Dad's Shed, and a crowded convention center bathroom.
Hi, I'm Mel.
And I'm Sass.
And we're the host of The Last Stretch,
a sports podcast.
It's a podcast where we're going to talk about, well, sports.
Specifically, what we do look at is what makes an athlete be the best that they can be. So not only do we talk to some athletes, but we talk to the people behind the athletes, from trainers to sports psychologists, you name it, we're going to talk about it.
We're going to talk about other issues revolving sports as well, hot button issues like concussions, maybe doping.
Give us a listen. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.